Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with all of you again this week. And for those of you who may not have been here before, welcome. This is a topic of the Enneagram, and there is a sign-in sheet going around. If you have been here before, your name should be on it. You just have to check today's date. If you have not, or if I missed you, I apologize. But then just fill in your name at the bottom of the second sheet, and then check today's date. So it'll be easier now than we had to write everything out before.
We have a handout for as a one.
We haven't done one yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. One, last week was the two.
Oh, okay.
All right. Starting. So just to recap a little bit, we said that there are three ways that we meet the world, or three centers. There's the head, the heart, and the gut. Okay? We have decided, I have decided, arbitrarily, to start with the heart center or the feeling center. So you can see that eights, nines, and ones are in the gut center, the body center. That means that's the first place that we nines, eights, and ones respond out of our gut. Okay? The twos, the threes, and the fours respond, we respond out of our heart. We feel it first. We emote it first. And then we go, hopefully, to other centers. And for those of us who are head people, we think about it first. We deal with it in our head and react accordingly to our head. And that'll become more clear, I hope, as we look at each of the distinct numbers within the center. Yes?
Is it possible to be like a 4 and a 5, like heart head and heart heart?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We hope that none of us operate solely out of one center.
Okay.
The healthy person operates out of all of them, but we tend to have one that dominates, and the other two are supportive. And then the really funny thing is, and we'll talk about this with the three, the number that's in the middle of each center is the least in touch with the center that they're in the middle of. So although the three operates out of the heart, they're the least in touch with their heart, the least in touch with their feelings. Although the nine operates out of the body, they're the least in touch with their body. And the six operates out of their head, but they're least in touch with what their head's doing. So it's kind of interesting. But yes, and there's a whole school of thought in the Enneagram that we're really three types, one in each center. Okay, so one's going to dominate, but the other two are going to be like secondary and tertiary to that. So absolutely, absolutely. And again, we operate out of a number, but we're influenced by our wings, and we're influenced by our stress point and our anxiety point. So a lot goes into really understanding ourselves. We're not that one, we're not one-dimensional, right? We're at least three-dimensional. So the body people are interested in autonomy. The heart people are interested in attention. Last week when we talked about the two, we spoke about their need for attention, and how did they get it? By helping, by giving of themselves, by self-sacrifice. That's how they achieved attention. And we'll see how the three does it today. And then in the thinking, the head center, they want security. And they have different ways of going about getting that security. And this is on that first sheet that I gave you the first week. It's kind of a complete look at the whole Enneagram. So we're looking at number three. And number three has obviously two wings, the two and the four. So most of the time, one is dominant over the other. So you might be a three with a two wing or a three with a four wing. So if you decide today you're a three, you do want to know what the two is all about and what the four is all about, because they influence you more or less. And the three, when things are cooking and going well, you threes will take the best from the six. The arrow going towards the three. And when things are not good and you're anxious, you will take on some of the worst characteristics of the nine. So we're influenced by really almost all of the numbers. And a whole person being as close to Jesus as they can be, we said, is every number, right? So we don't want to get stuck in our number. We want to grow and get out of it. And remember, we want to think about how we were when we were around 25 years old. Okay, so for me, that's getting harder and harder every year to think back to how I was when I was 25, because I'm sure I don't remember me the way I really was. But that's before life's wisdom got involved and I learned from my mistake that that doesn't work and I had to try something new. What was my go-to way of behaving when I was in my 20s? How did I behave in my 20s before I figured out that maybe I needed to do something different on some things? Okay, so today we're looking at the three. The three is called the achiever, or the performer, the builder, the organizer, the success, the goal-oriented, the community-minded. Remember, there's good and there's a shadow side and a light side to every number, so no number's bad. All numbers are good, but we all have shadow sides, right? So one of the sayings that a three might resonate with is that saying, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Okay? When you were 25, that may have been how you thought. So a style three, the achiever, when they're healthy, when they're resourceful, they take a practical approach to life. They're competent, productive, efficient, and organized. A healthy three makes a wonderful boss. Okay? They're enthusiastic, they motivate others, they promote the good of the group, and they want to make the world a more efficient place. Very, very unhappy when the world operates inefficiently, which is probably most of the time. So they're probably not happy a lot of the time. On the less resourceful side, when they're not as healthy as they might be, threes may become preoccupied with their image and focus too much on what others expect of them. They want to be admired for their accomplishments and their performance. Success, achieving, drives the three. So a three at his or her best is optimistic and self-affirming and efficient and energetic and a team builder and a motivator, dynamic person. At their worst, they can be deceptive, calculating, and impatient, and scheming, and exploitative, and self-promoting, and pretentious. And maybe some of us have had bosses that were threes, some of them more healthy than others. So you may be able to relate to that, maybe not in terms of yourself, but in terms of someone that you might have encountered in the workplace. The core belief of the three is that life is a contest, and I have to do the best. I have to win. I have to be successful. And their core coping strategy is to compete, to rise above. Possibly unhealthy three or a more average three, if you play a game with them, no matter how trivial the game may be, they are not happy if they don't win. Okay? And they may even fudge the rules a little bit to make sure they win. Now, I know a lot of four-year-olds who I would call a three because they hate to lose, right? But that's a whole other story. But if you're 25 and you still can't stand to lose, you might be a three. Their core fear, what's driving all of this, is the feeling of being worthless. The feeling of being a failure. That they might be incapable. That might be the truth. And somebody might find that out. They might be unimpressive. They might be unsuccessful and inefficient. All those things that are important to them, they might be just the opposite. And, oh, I can't let anybody think that's me. So that's their core fear. That underneath they are all those things that they don't like. Their core desire is to feel valuable and worthwhile just by being themselves. It's the core desire of all of us, right? It was the core desire of the two. The two was afraid they weren't lovable unless they gave and gave and gave. The three fears they're not lovable unless they succeed, achieve, succeed. The divine gift of the three is hope and radiance. The healthy three is optimistic and believes and hopes and thinks that everything's going to be great and that they can help achieve that for themselves and for others. The root sin, the underlying passion that's driven by that fear, is vanity and deceit. They need to be seen as all together, and they need to be the best, even if that means they have to lie, even if they have to put on a false front. They will avoid failure and incompetence as much as possible. So they might avoid things that they know they're not going to be good at. They won't try them, because if they don't think they can succeed, they don't want anybody to see them fail. So if they think they won't be a good skier, they'll never get on skis, because they don't want to fail at it. Their inner critic is always telling them it's not enough. You need to be more successful. You need to achieve more. Okay, you're the CEO of this company. You got to be the CEO of 5 companies. You're never satisfied. You never achieve enough. For them to grow and transform this and become healthy, they need to work on truthfulness and trust. The opposite, right, of vanity and deceit. They need to work on truthfulness and trust. Try to come to that. The world of the three, what a three misses is knowing that their value doesn't depend on their productivity. They're not more valuable because they succeeded, because they won that game. They need to experience being appreciated for themselves and not for their achievements. They need to be able to relax and let the universe run itself. They're not in charge. It doesn't all fall on their shoulders. The world will not collapse if they take a day off. Neither probably will the company or the family or whatever else they think they are the sole responsible party to keep working. Their passion, as we said, is vanity. Their defense mechanism is role identification. So they'll identify with successful people and they'll want to be like successful people. And they'll constantly compare themselves with successful people. What they heard as a child was that it's not okay to have your own feelings. That's not what the parents probably meant to tell them. That's what they heard. Remember, we don't always hear what our parents are trying to say. We hear through the lens of our own personhood. And so we might hear something totally different than what the parent meant. And the message they need to hear is that they're loved for themselves without needing to perform. The other wounded childhood message I think that they heard is you need to succeed, right? I love you when you win the game. I love you when you bring all A's home. Now the parent didn't say, I love you when, but they got really excited when that report card was good. And that was the only time they got attention from their parents, were when they did well in school or when they played a great football game or they were really good on the swim team. Then their parents gave them attention, and otherwise they felt like they were nobody. So that message that they got was, if I want attention, which is what the heart center is seeking, then I have to achieve to get it. And we talked about the first week, that won't make any sense to you over here unless you were here the first week, but they have an assertive stance. They want to be competent. They need attention, and their repressed center is feeling. The very center that they're in the middle of is the most repressed for them because they can't deal with their feelings, because their feelings don't matter, because the message was you shouldn't have your own feelings. You should just be out there doing and achieving. And if you let your feelings get in the way, you might not succeed. You might let somebody else win. You might be kind to somebody and not step over them to make that promotion. So you can't let your feelings get involved. You've got to succeed. God's invitation to the three is, I invite you to be free from the need to succeed in order to establish your worth in the world. You are of great value regardless of your accomplishments. So you might be a three if other people define your value, You need to buy well-known brands. Some people need to have a Lexus. Wouldn't be okay to drive a Hyundai. That would somehow say, oh, I'm not successful. So even though they may not be able to afford that Lexus, they're going to drive it so that others will see them and say, oh, he must be, she must be really good. You enjoy being the center of attention. You promote yourself because others don't appreciate you. Nobody really realizes how good I am and how successful I am. So I have to constantly tell you how good I am and how successful I am and how much better I am than everybody else. Because you don't know it. And you might miss it. And I can't let that happen. You need to show a successful image. You're never wrong. You never apologize. You never made a mistake. You're successful after all. You're shocked when the image you present is not the real you. If you ever allow yourself to get a glimpse of what's going on underneath, in your heart, you're shocked. Because it's not the image that you're projecting, and you have become so much identified with the projected image that you yourself have forgotten who you really are. It's easy to fool others. People look at you and they think you've got it all together. They don't know what's going on inside. Being the best increases your self-esteem. You feel better about yourself when you achieve. You usually say things are great and deny that there's any problems. Because if there were problems, what you should be doing? You should be fixing them. So there can't be any problems. And you have clear goals which are important to you. Okay? And of course, there's nothing wrong with having goals. There's nothing wrong with any of these things if they aren't, if they're kept under control. But threes would never dream of not making a list, so they make sure they get everything done, of not bragging at their high school reunion, of not taking over the meeting when needed, which is a good thing, it's needed. Threes would never dream of not getting a job done. There's no such thing as going to bed before the job is finished. The threes would never go for a week on a silent retreat. Oh my gosh, that would drive the three crazy because they're not doing anything. Threes would never dream of admitting they made a mistake. I am my trophies. I am who they think I am. Image, very important. Threes set goals. They love a challenge. They solve problems aggressively. They're attractive. They look good. They're stylish. They know how to look their best. They make sure that things get done on time because they're efficient. They seek to earn love through their performance and successes as seen through the eyes of others. That's the important thing. Not through their own eyes, through others' eyes. Unfortunately, a three can be limited by believing that their worth depends on their achievements. They can't express their feelings because they might make them look bad. That their value is dependent on other people thinking they're good. That they always must present a winning image. That it's up to them to make it in life. They've pulled themselves up by the bootstraps and they've done it on their own and nobody helped them. They did it because they're great. To be loved, I must be successful. I must be a winner. I must perform well. So remember we said that there are six levels of development in every person, and that is true of the three. They go all the way from being an authentic person, a self-assured person, an outstanding paragon when the person is healthy. When they're average, they're in the middle there, competitive status seeker, an image-oriented pragmatist, a little further down on the scale, a self-promoting narcissist. Far down in the unhealthy level, I'm smiling because I keep thinking of a person when I talk about three. I'll leave it to you to decide who that is. Exploitative opportunist, a malicious traitor, and a vindictive psychopath at their worst. I'm not saying anybody's there, believe me or not. So healthy threes are highly productive, naturally self-confident, optimistic, and unpretentiously self-assured. They've got it together. They know it. They're okay with it. But they don't have to prove it to anybody. They just can live their lives. and do what they can do. They're energetic, they're enthusiastic, they're diplomatic, charismatic, popular, hardworking, extremely effective at time management. You really want this person, this healthy three at the head of your company, because they're good people to work with. Okay, they're not going to be overbearing because they don't need to be. They're going to bring out the best in their team. They're charming, they have good manners, they know how to win friends and influence people. But their motivations are good. They just want everybody to succeed. They're sociable and personable and likable. You get the idea. They truly inspire people, and people want to be like them in a good way. They're in touch with their deeper feelings. A healthy three knows what's going on inside. And they're not afraid to be vulnerable and tender and affectionate. They're not driven by success. They just know how to achieve it, and they achieve it. But not in a way that hurts other people or steps on other people or exploits other people along the way. They are fulfilled in their personal and their professional lives. They have a balance. It's not all work. They can play too. And they don't have to win when they play. Average threes, average meaning that's where most of us fall in our lives most of the time. Average threes are driven by a fear that they will be overshadowed. So they compete in every aspect of life. They compete when they play a friendly game of basketball. Watch out, because they'll knock you over to get to the hoop, right? They have to win. They're always concerned with their image. They need to stand out and look good and be somebody. So they don't want to show up anywhere not wearing the perfect clothing, not being dressed just right for the event, whether that's a casual event or a really formal one. They want to look perfect, like they just knew what to wear. They have a need for recognition, and they're always comparing themselves with other people. They'll make up stories and tell white lies if they have to in order to look good. They'll, you know, change the truth a little bit, give some fake news in order to make it work. They're workaholics who put their feelings and values aside in order to achieve. They know that this is wrong, but they can't go with what they know is right. They've got to go with what will help them win. And so they're always going to work to succeed more than anything else. They get caught up in their career in order to make a name for themselves. Sometimes they forget about their families. They miss lots of family events because they have to be at work. So they're late for family events, or they don't show up at all, and they don't take care of their health, because going to the doctor would be taking time out of getting done what I have to get done. So I'll just go through. I'll just tough it out. They cover up their vulnerability, and they do what it takes to look as though they have it all together. They're always looking for the edge. They're always looking to close the deal, to rise to the top. They adjust their behaviors to fit the situation. They're chameleons. They are whatever you want me to be. That's what I'll be, as long as I can achieve. They struggle to be in real relationships because they're cut off from their feelings. It's hard to relate to the average three sometimes, on a marriage or on any kind of personal level. Then when we get down in that lower tier of threes, these destructive threes are desperate for attention, recognition, and validation. And so they become superficial, self-promoting, and self-important. They can be ostentatious and pretentious show-offs. They don't just want to be successful. They want to be the star of the show. They want to be the center of attention. So they can be dishonest and arrogant and contemptuous to defend what? That fragile ego that needs to succeed and look good at all costs. They can't help it. They're driven to do it because, God forbid, anybody see the me that's underneath this. They have such an extreme fear of failure that they become deceptive and their life becomes a web of lies. They are devious and duplicitous and unscrupulous and exploitative and opportunistic. They can become true con artists, imposters, and swindlers, and become hostile, malicious, vengeful, and psychopathological on an unhealthy level. Any questions so far? My thoughts? The core coping strategies for the threes, again, this is kind of repetitious, but I want to be sure you get it. There's an intense focus on tasks, goals, achievements, and success. Time management is how they cope. Okay, you're feeling vulnerable, you just get in there and make things work and get it done and be productive. They work exceptionally hard. These are exceptionally hard workers. They're the ones that are there in the morning before you get to work, and they're the ones that are still there when you leave. They don't take a lunch break. They work through their lunch, and unhealthy ones want you to do the same. They know how to present something in a compelling and acceptable way. They make great salespeople. You will walk out having bought that house that you didn't want to buy because they somehow got you to do it. Okay? And you're not really sure what happened. They repress feelings for maximum performance and results. They always present a winning personality. They meet challenges by being extremely adaptable. That's the chameleon. Threes adjust their behavior and affect to meet expectations and to succeed. There are some things that threes can do to help themselves grow and get up to that healthy level of being a three, because a three's great when they're healthy. They can stop from time to time and ask, what am I feeling? Try to get in touch with that center that they're in the middle of. Let their real emotions surface and not be afraid of them. Learn to moderate their pace. Take some time to slow down and detach. Practice looking inward to find their own identity apart from their successes. Who am I if I don't succeed? Folks who are threes have a hard time with retirement, because they've been successful and they've needed to be. And now all of a sudden, one day they're on the top of the world succeeding, and the next day, who am I? What am I going to do now? How am I going to be successful if I'm not in a job and there's nobody depending on me and I'm just here? What am I? Who am I? They need to set limits and boundaries on their work life and give themselves over to some free time and family time and health time, self time. A three could ask a trusted friend to tell them when they feel like they're being inauthentic or fudging the truth. Ask themselves, is this who I really am, or am I just going for the image? Those are hard questions to ask yourself, especially if you're a three, because you're so used to covering up. But those are the kinds of things that a three needs to get to in order to grow. They need to really allow themselves to listen to others and be receptive to others' ideas and allow that other people might be better at something than they are. How many times have you heard that the best leader in a company is the one who gathers competent, qualified, talented people around them, right? And a healthy three can do that. But an unhealthy three can't have talented, creative people around them, because then they might not look like the best. So they'll surround themselves with incompetence and then go crazy because nobody can do the job. So that they've created it for themselves. Again, realizing that love comes from being, not doing or having. Work on valuing empathy and connection as highly as status. It's just important that I understand my coworkers and feel with them and care about that new baby or the sick mother or the problems that they're having in their personal lives of some kind, that matters too, and not just whether they're producing at work. Ask yourself what really matters to you, and then take time to pursue that. But if a three says, well, what really matters to me is that I be successful, then they're just kind of spinning their wheels. A parable for the threes might be the parable of the laborers in the field from Matthew 20. 1-16. And you know this one. It's when the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarion, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard and I'll pay you whatever is right. And they went. Then again around noon, and then at 3 PM, he did the same thing. Around 5, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why are you just standing around, doing nothing all day? because nobody has hired us, they replied. He responded, you also go into the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, and moving on finally to the first. When those who were hired at 5 p.m. came, they got the denarion and so on and so on, and there was a 3 there who said, hey, that's not fair. I succeeded more than they did. Why are they getting what I've got? I should have gotten more because I worked harder. I achieved more. And now I'm not getting the recognition that I deserve because I'm getting the same thing that they get who worked hardly at all. So a 3 could do well to think about that parable and what Jesus is trying to tell us about the innate value of each person. Right? You all are familiar with the prosperity gospel, that God rewards those who have prospered. You know that that's a 3's dream. A 3 with love does love, I think, the prosperity gospel, because it says that success is what God wants, and God honors success, and God loves you most when you succeed. And if you don't succeed, well, then God must not love you. So get on the stick here and succeed. 3's are an American tendency. We tend to be very driven to succeed in America. It goes along well with the Puritan work ethic. And we've been kind of brought up in that. And the Calvinist understanding of predestination, that you're saved from the beginning, and you're going to look like you were saved, and if you weren't saved, you're going to look like you weren't saved. It's kind of the prosperity gospel, the origins of it. So if you ask yourself, am I chosen? Well, 3 says, of course I'm chosen. Look how successful I am. I live in the biggest house in town. I've got the best car, and, you know, I wear all the best clothes. So, yeah, I'm chosen. God loves me. There's a tendency to blame the poor for their own plight, right? Because they don't work hard enough. They're not success-oriented. They could do so much better. And there's no concept of forgiveness in an unhealthy 3. There's no idea of the year of Jubilee where God says everything goes back to everybody. No, I earned it. I'm not giving it back to these people, these lazy good-for-nothings. It's mine. I earned it. Have to learn from the scriptures. Jacob might have been a 3. What do we know about Jacob? What do you think about with Jacob? Who was he? Anybody remember Jacob? Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob and Esau. He did anything he had to do in order to succeed. He tricked his dad in order to get the birthright away from his older brother who came out first and should have gotten it. But he wasn't above deceit. Because he was afraid that he'd be nobody if he didn't get it. And so, anything it takes. The mother of the sons of Zebedee, what she asked Jesus for? Can my sons sit at your right hand and left hand? Can my sons be the successful ones in this group? Can they not rise above? And in another story, the sons ask it themselves, right? So they were also success-oriented. How will people know that I was a great disciple if I'm not right there with you, on your right and your left? They might have been 3s. Jesus, of course, is the healthy 3, because he's a healthy everything. He experienced rejection, but he stayed the course. He didn't lose hope. He brought others along with him. Right? He made others feel good. He wasn't that concerned with his image, but he was concerned with achieving the goal that the Lord, God his Father had set for him, right? But he didn't do it at the expense of others. He did it by bringing others along. So 3 spiritual growth comes by cultivating stillness, by taking Sabbath rest. It's okay. Turn your cell phone off. Don't check your emails on a Sunday. It's okay. It'll probably drive an unhealthy 3 crazy if they can't do those things. Allow your true feelings to emerge. Think about babies. They haven't succeeded, and yet their parents love them unconditionally. You're like a baby in God's eyes. You don't have to do a lot and achieve a lot to be loved. Read Luke. Luke's gospel is filled with stories of how much God cares about the poor. Right? So if you think the poor are to blame, God doesn't. Read Luke. Let go and let God. Don't make the outcome of this whole world your sole job. Let God be in control. You just take a back seat sometimes. Spend time with your families, with your relationships. Leave the job, the tasks, the to-do list behind. And understand that you are not what you do. Jesus says in Matthew, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That might be a scripture that a three should have on a little card in their wallet and check, read it every day. Just to remember that all that labor isn't really necessary. It's okay. On the lighter side, it says, "My contractor told me Rome would only take a day." Not very efficient. Not very efficient. I need to look up this word again because I kind of forgot what it means. I aspired to authenticity, but I never got beyond verisimilitude. Anybody want to define that last word?
It's the appearance or image of reality.
The appearance or image of reality. Okay. Thank you. I aspired to authenticity, but I never got beyond the image. Right? Two older folks bemoaning their retirement right there. There is no such thing as failure. There are only results. And here are some possible threes that you might resonate with. You might want to put some other folks up there. Who do we have up there? Who do you see that you recognize?
Tom Cruise.
Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest. Nobody can beat me.
Schwarzenegger.
Kissinger. Anybody you put up there that's not up there?
Donald Trump.
Yeah, I go back and forth whether he's a three or an eight. We'll look at the eight and you'll have to decide. But yeah, a lot of what I said might relate to almost anybody that gets high on the list, right? Okay, let me see if I can get their song too.
He's the
cartoon. Yeah. He's from Pooh, Winnie the Pooh. He's a little gopher that always is very energetic and always doing, always building another.
Who?
He's from Winnie the Pooh. He's a Winnie the Pooh character, but not one of the big ones. Yeah. Let me see if I'm still hooked into my Bluetooth here.
Yeah. It was interesting that Donald Trump Day, I read an article about the threes and eights. So they had the three, several threes evaluate Trump and say whether they felt from their own beings whether he was them. And across the board, the threes said no. But all the eights said yes.
They're threes. That he's an eight, yeah. Yeah. And when we get to the eight, you'll see, you know, you've already done it, you'll see why. But, and eights and threes have a lot of the same characteristics, but their motivations are different. And when I hear this motivation being that fear of being found out and of not being what I appear to be, I wonder if that's what he's dealing with. I don't know.
Who is the woman in between Tom Cruise and
Reba McEntire? Uh-huh.
It was a long time ago.
Reba? Maybe you think this song is a three.
So Warren Beatty should be up there? Absolutely.
Baby, your partner, and you're so vain.
about you. You're so baby.
Okay, another song that fits the three that's maybe a little bit more positive. See if you remember this one. The Pretender, yes. That would. If you think of songs that fit, I'd love to have them because I'm trying to make a whole big list. But here's another one that I think fits the three. So that's the three, folks.